Last week we were introduced to the ancient prophet of Israel named Jonah. Skipped ahead here. And he lived around 800 BC, so 800 years before Christ, during the time of King Jeroboam II. And we learned that God specifically called him to go and preach to the Ninevites. And Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And at that time, the Assyrians were evil, wicked people. To put it into perspective, it was like God calling Jonah to go and preach to the Nazis, or to the Taliban, or to Al-Qaeda. And that's not something that Jonah wanted to do. Instead, he went in the opposite direction. He got on a boat headed to Spain, thinking that he could potentially run away from God, which we learned isn't a very good idea because God is omni, remember this word? Present. He's omnipresent. He's all places at all times. And depending on the moment you're in, that's either very comforting or very scary. And for Jonah and his shipmates, that was terrifying because at that moment, God sends in this storm of discipline to get him to come back and do what he was called to do. Now, at this time, the sailors are trying to alleviate the weight on the boat. They're throwing everything overboard. They're praying to their so-called gods. Nothing's working, and their last-ditch effort is they draw straws. It says that they cast lots to figure out whose fault this was, and the fault landed to Jonah. Now, before that moment, they didn't know much about this stowaway on their boat, this guy that had been there sleeping below the deck, but they quickly found out that he was a Hebrew and that he was running away from Yahweh, the Lord, the one true God who makes the seas and the lands. And when they heard this, they were shaking in their boots. And they asked Jonah, what did they need to do to appease the Lord, to calm him down and to get him to save their lives? And his response was, throw me overboard. Now, these people had a conscience. They cared for others, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. So they tried to throw more overboard. They tried to keep rowing. Nothing was happening. And so finally, reluctantly, they did what Jonah asked them to do. They threw him overboard, and what's amazing is immediately everything was calm. No more storm, no more clouds. It's just peace, a glassy sea. And at that moment, those sailors fell to their knees in worship of the one true God. And while they're worshiping the one true God, Jonah is sinking to the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. And the final verse in chapter 1 ultimately tells us what happened. It says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Last time we discussed if this was even possible, and the short answer is, well, all things are possible with God. God, in the beginning, it says that in one 24-hour period, created all the sea creatures, every animal that lives in the sea. So if he wanted to send a large fish to swallow a man, it's not a big deal for God. And by the word, by the way, the word fish in Hebrew, anybody know it? I didn't know it until this week. It's dag. D-A-G, kind of like dog, but it's dag. So the word dag in the Hebrew language that was used here in Jonah chapter 1 is literally translated sea creature, which means that this sea creature didn't necessarily have gills. It could have had a blowhole on top. It could have been a whale, or it could have been one of these. We have the basking shark, and just in comparison how big this man is here, could easily have fit in the mouth. We have the whale shark. Here's some real-life pictures or models of that. So could he have fit in the belly of one of these massive animals? The answer is yes. Yes, he could have. And there are even modern-day stories of fishermen falling off boats and getting swallowed up by these massive beasts of the sea and surviving it as well. So yes, that could have happened just logically, but also we know that God can do whatever he desires and do these things miraculously. Now, what kind of fish, whale, sea creature it was, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that while Jonah was in that massive sea creature, he was praying. And in the prayer that he prays in Jonah chapter 2, it actually describes what he was praying while he was drowning. And what that means for us, just on a historical note, is that either Jonah wrote the book that bears his name, or he dictated it to someone who wrote it down for us. But this is an eyewitness account of what Jonah went through. And so this is what he prayed. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." So when we first read the account of Jonah, it seems as if he's swallowed up as soon as he hits the water. Or maybe even as he's in the air, you have visions of this whoop, and it's just like, whoop, he's down in the water, right? But what he's describing in this prayer is that wasn't the case. He landed in the water. He talks about the currents pulling him and pushing him. He's struggling to survive. He talks about seaweed being wrapped around his head. And what he's experiencing here is what most people fear, like their worst nightmare, drowning. Suffocating underwater. But remember, why did he end up there in the first place? It's because he thought he knew better than God. He didn't like God's plan. He didn't want to do things God's way. God said, "Go and preach to your enemies, call them to repentance so that they will live." But instead, Jonah decided to harbor in his heart this anger and vengeance towards the Ninevites. He took matters into his own hands, and he chose to do the exact opposite of what God had called him to do. And then that's when God caused that storm of discipline to come into his life. And even then, Jonah wasn't listening. He was ignoring God's warning. He's sleeping through half the storm, and the captain has to go down below to wake him up and say, "Hey, don't you realize we're all going to die? You need to get up and do something." And when the sailors found out that this was all Jonah's fault, he immediately said this in chapter 1. He said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Were these words of a hero? I think about the soldier. He's in his camp with his comrades, and there's a live grenade. And everyone yells, "Grenade!" And the guy heroically jumps on the grenade and takes the explosion to spare everybody else in the way. Was Jonah being a hero? Or were these words of a depressed man who had lost all hope, who felt like he had run out of options, and his only choice was death? Personally, I don't believe that Jonah was a hero. I think he was depressed. And with that in mind, I want you to compare his situation to your own. Has God been calling you lately to do something that is completely calling you out of your comfort zone? That it feels like it's going against every fiber of your being? And similar to Jonah, is God calling you to love someone that seems absolutely unlovable? Someone maybe you despise, and maybe for good reason, because they've hurt you or someone you love. They betrayed you, sinned against you, lied about you, made fun of you, abused you emotionally, physically, maybe even sexually. And there's no doubt that God wants this person to be called to repentance. There's no doubt that God is going to hold that individual accountable one way or the other. But at the same time, God wants you to find it in your heart to forgive. And even be kind to that individual. And my question is, are you willingly submitting to that calling, or are you running away? Are you running away from storms that God's putting in your life to wake you up and say, no, I need you to go this way? Is he sending people into your life like that captain to wake up Jonah? Is he sending people and telling you, you're going in the wrong direction? Decisions you're making and choices you're making are not godly. They're not biblical. Are you listening to those people? Are you heeding the warnings? Or are you allowing yourself to be drawn down into that darkness? Have you gotten to the point where it seems like there's nothing else you can do? You can do. There's nowhere else that you can go personally. Do you feel like you're hitting rock bottom or you've arrived? And if you have you been thinking like Jonah? That you and everyone else would be better off if someone just picked you up and threw you into the sea? And I don't ask that question lightly because personally, I've been there. I'll tell you a story about my own self. When I was 14 years old, I was a freshman in high school, I went away to a boarding school. And it wasn't necessarily because I was a bad kid. It was what my parents did. They sent us away. So I went to high school in Wisconsin. I lived in dormitories, and my parents lived in Nebraska. My family lived there. And when I got to the school, I was very arrogant. It was all about me. I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to be the cool kid. I wanted everyone to make me the center of attention. And I definitely became the center of attention, but not in a good way. My friends at that time got sick of hearing all about Dan Schmidt, and they started to bully me night and day. It was pretty awful. I couldn't escape it. And at first, I wasn't praying about it. I was trying to figure out how to deal with it on my own. I tried to bully those who were bullying me, and that always backfired. I tried to fight back verbally and physically, but growing up with five sisters, I didn't have the skills to be able to do that, so that always backfired as well. And what's crazy is there's a group of kids that was willing to have me in their group. They would have accepted me, but I was too proud because they weren't the quote-unquote cool kids. And so I was stuck. I couldn't hang out with the cool crowd. I didn't want to hang out with the nerds. And the real problem, though, was I wasn't willing to love people the way God was calling me to love people. And because of that, it was a really dark time in my life. Again, I was 14 years old. And one night, the hazing and the bullying got so bad that I remember sitting in my dorm room thinking about how I could end it all. And you would hope that a kid my age wouldn't have those thoughts, but I absolutely did. And I wanted to be thrown into the bottom of the sea. But then something amazing happened. God prompted me to pray, just like Jonah did. In the depths of that darkness, I started to pray. And with that in mind, I want you to listen to his prayer again. And I'm going to dissect it for you here. He says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." So what happened when Jonah hit rock bottom? It says that he called out to the Lord for help. And what did the Lord do for Jonah? It says he answered him. He heard his cry. And so what can you do when you feel like you're hitting rock bottom? You too can call out to the Lord, even if you've been running away from him. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to listen. He's going to listen to your cry for help. And Jonah continues. It says, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple." What's really interesting in chapter 1, who threw him into the sea? The sailors. And who told them to throw him into the sea? Jonah. Yet who does he say threw him into the sea? God. But what is this? This is a recognition that God was using everything in his life, whether Jonah was making that decision or not, is that God was using this to ultimately bring Jonah back, to humble him, and to recognize that God was in control. And because once he humbled himself, where did he turn? It says he turned back towards God's temple. And if the Jewish audience here, he says this twice in this prayer. If you were a Jew reading this, you would have known exactly what he was talking about. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we have the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. And this was the first temple that Solomon had built. And at that dedication, he prayed, "Lord, when anyone turns to your temple and they repent, please hear their prayer, have mercy on them, and forgive them." And so ultimately what what Jonah is saying, that I'm turning to your temple, he's saying, I'm turning away from myself and I'm turning back to you, God, in repentance. He was acknowledging his attitude, and God was there to forgive him. And what Jonah is teaching us here is that when you and I hit rock bottom, when it feels like there's nowhere to turn, the place to turn is up. So often we're looking down inside, we're looking around saying, what can I do, what can I do? But he's saying, look up. Look up to God. When you're at rock bottom, look up. Turn to God in repentance. Repent for the sins that you know of that are burdening you. Repent for the sins that you have no idea that are going on in your life, but they are, they're sinful. Humbly acknowledge your behavior before God. And here's the promise. He will forgive you. That's how our God operates. And this is what happens next. Jonah goes on. He says, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. So he feels stuck, right? But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, your holy temple. Who brought Jonah out of the pit of despair? It wasn't Jonah. It was the Lord. Who's going to bring you up out of the pit of despair? It's not you. It's the Lord. And notice how Jonah personalizes his relationship. But you, read this with me, Lord my God. How often do you talk about God in the generic? You know, God this, God that, even our God, right? My God. He says, I cried out to the Lord my God. And my God brought me out of the pit. Why would he do that? Jonah was arrogant. He was pompous. He thought he knew better than God. He thought he could run away from the omnipotent, omnipresent Lord and get away with it. Human reason says that Jonah should have drowned that day because it was all his fault. Logic says that God shouldn't have forgiven Jonah. But it's not about logic. It's about love. The Lord showed Jonah mercy because the Lord, his God, our God, your God, my God, is the God of love. He's our Father God who disciplines us when we need it. He's our Father God who humbles us when we're proud. He's our Father God who forgives us when we repent. And he's our Father God who helps us when we cry out for help. That's what grace is all about. And if you've forgotten what that word actually means, it means undeserved love. And that's what I got that day, sitting in my dorm room, contemplating being thrown into the sea. I cried out to my God in my despair, and I got grace. And in that moment of grace, what God taught me was, this was my fault. Because I was running away from him. I was categorizing people. I was making fun of certain people, thinking that I should be with certain people. And God stripped that all away. He humbled me, and he reminded me that God is for all people. All people are made in his image. All people are important, whether they're really smart or they're not smart. If they're really cool or they're not cool. God shed that all away, and he taught me that everyone needs love, everyone needs grace, everyone needs kindness. And that day, God forgave me. He pulled me out of that pit of despair, just like he forgave Jonah and saved him from his despair. And don't get me wrong, I hated being at rock bottom. Hated it. I would not wish that on my worst enemy. But I'm thankful that I was there because it caused me to look where? Up. Because I wasn't looking there. And if you're at rock bottom right now, if you're at the pit of despair or you're getting pretty close, the only place to look is up to your God, who loves you, and he is ready to forgive you at a moment's notice. He's ready to save you. And so my encouragement to all of you today is don't give up. If you're in that pit of despair, do not give up. And you don't have to live in darkness anymore. You don't have to try to fix yourself or fix your situation or your circumstances, because you're not going to be able to do that anyway. Only the Lord can do that for you. That's who you need right now, is you need the Lord God who made the seas and the land. Jonah finally recognized that while he was in the pit of the belly of a big sea creature. And this is how he ends his prayer. He says, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say," read it with me, "salvation comes from the Lord." So he recognizes, he's like, if you're turning away from God, if you're trying to figure this out on your own, if you're turning to your own ways, if you're turning to other people, if you're trying to figure it out with your own know-how and knowledge, he says, that's idolatry. You can't save you. The only way you can be saved, as Jonah declares, is through the Lord. I'm standing here before you today, alive and well, not because I figured it out, not because I came up with a solution, I saved myself. No, that's not the case. I didn't read some book that all of a sudden enlightened me and said, oh, this is how you do life better. No, who saved me? The Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord, plain and simple. The same Lord who sent the storm to wake up Jonah is the same Lord who sent salvation into his life. Salvation from imminent physical death and salvation from eternal death and hell. Earlier in our service today, we read from Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus compared what happened to Jonah to what was about to happen to him. Just like Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of that fish, Jesus was going to spend 3 days in the heart of the earth in a grave. Jonah was in the belly of the fish because of his sins. Jesus was in the heart of the earth because of our sins. Jesus took your sins and mine, and he buried them forever in that tomb. In fact, if you're baptized, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that your sinful self has been buried with Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And just like Jesus was raised from the dead, he says that you and I now have been given a new life, a life full of hope and purpose and peace. And on top of that, he says we have the promise of the resurrection life. That after all of this, just like we were drowned, our sinful nature was drowned out in our baptism, we were brought back to life, he says, so also you will have a resurrected life with Christ, that one day you will rise from the dead and live with him forever. That's why in the midst of your darkness, despair, depression, guilt, shame, or hopelessness, don't look to yourself. Don't think that you can save yourself. Don't look to homemade and man-made remedies. Look up, because your salvation comes from your Lord. Jonah's salvation came from his Lord. And after he prayed that amazing prayer, this is what it says. Read it with me. "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." What a fun way to end a sermon. Come back next week and I'll tell you more about it. Let's pray. God, personally, I just want to thank you for saving me so many years ago, and you continue to do that. And I pray for anyone right now who's listening to this, who's in despair, who feels like they've hit rock bottom and they don't know where to turn, they don't know where to go. God, lift their chin up and help them to see you and hear their prayer just like you heard Jonah's. Even though he ran away, Lord, you ran after him. Even though I ran away from you, you ran after me. God, you are the God of pursuit. We're so grateful for your grace. We don't deserve it one bit, but it's because of that we're here today. We get to proclaim your praises, Lord, because salvation comes from you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.